Welcome to the 80%, where we share stories and insights to help you better support and enable your frontline team. I'm JD, the Chief Learning Architect at Exonify. On this episode, we explore what it means to take a resource-based approach to workplace learning. We're joined by Sebastian Tindall, Head of Learning and Development Operations at Vitality, who shows us how to build an agile frontline workforce while reducing training hours by up to 40%. That's coming up next on the 80%.
I'm doing the right things.
I am your competitive advantage.
I am making my workplace safe.
When you give the people on your frontline the tools they need to succeed, your business succeeds too. Exonify is sharing free training content and ongoing inspiration to help you move your frontline forward. Head over to exonify.com/frontlineforward to learn more.
I am on the front line.
I am on the front line.
I am on the front line.
Together, we will move the front line forward.
Has a post-it note ever changed the direction of your career? Well, one little yellow square of sticky paper did just that for me about 10 years ago. You see, I had started a new job supporting training for a contact center. On my third day, our primary e-learning developer quit. Because I had a background in media production, I had to pick up his development projects, despite knowing very little about the business. And I quickly ran into a problem. You see, I couldn't find any of the information I needed to build my online training. I had access to our entire intranet, but I was struggling to find basic info. I figured it was just me being new, so I started asking around. Turns out, it wasn't me. Agents and trainers alike all had their own private information repositories. People had stuff saved to share drives and SharePoints and on their desktops. No two people gave me the same answer to the question, where can I find? I was still only a few weeks into my role, but it felt like I had uncovered a real problem. So I went to my boss and told her about what I'd found. I summarized by saying, what if we built something like Wikipedia, but for here? She agreed that we seemed to have an information flow problem within our business. However, we had a lot of priority projects in the works, and knowledge management wasn't really in our purview. So she wrote Wikipedia on a yellow post-it note and stuck it to the side of her computer monitor. That post-it note sat untouched and unconsidered for 2 years. However, by the time I left the company, almost 6 years later, that post-it had become the foundation of our contact center learning strategy. That's because it ultimately led to our adoption of a resource-based approach to learning. Instead of trying to fit traditional training into time agents didn't have, we provided on-demand resources and micro-learning to help them solve problems and reinforce critical knowledge in the flow of work. As a result, our training requests dropped by almost 50%, and we were able to tackle more performance challenges more quickly. Now, I may be the only L&D professional with a career-changing post-it note story, but I'm definitely not the only one who has helped a workforce keep pace with business change and complexity by adopting a resource-based approach. Let me introduce you to Sebastian Tindall.
Well, if they are your greatest asset, then getting the best out of them is your biggest competitive advantage, right?
Sebastian is the Head of Learning and Development Operations at Vitality, the UK-based insurance firm that incentivizes its members to take a more active role in managing their own wellness by developing positive, long-term lifestyle and financial habits that are good for them, good for the company, and good for society.
What that means is if a new medical treatment is implemented, there's a new cancer cover, you know, Apple releases a new watch, your gym opens, or Peloton releases a new product, then our teams need to know about it immediately as we can get calls about it straight away.
Sebastian and his team help Vitality's more than 1,000 contact center agents across the UK deliver great member experiences one conversation at a time.
That frontline team is just the lifeblood of our business. It's where the rubber hits the road. It's where the metrics are created and people are held accountable for that. But also there are just some amazing people in there that surprise you every day. And I think including them in your L&D process is an absolute necessity. I don't know what we would do if we didn't consult them. And I think it was an important realization for us to do that.
In doing so, they've challenged their stakeholders to think differently about the role learning plays on the front line. This has resulted in a shift away from traditional training to focus on resources that fit into the busy agent workflow.
We give them the opportunity to shape those resources and tell us, you know, what do you need? What's the armbands when you're jumping into the pool here? If you tell us what you need, we can give those to you. And the way we can do that is by less focusing on the deployment of knowledge, but focusing more on deployment and maintenance of it.
Let's explore what it means to take a resource-based approach to frontline learning with Sebastian Tindall.
Yes, you train people. Yes, you teach them. What happens if they forget?
To really grasp the approach Vitality applies to frontline learning, you first have to understand the everyday realities of their business and the role contact center agents play.
Traditional insurance businesses and L&D teams know that when a customer's calling up, it's just some form of medical inquiry, right? It's, I need help with this, but that isn't true of Vitality. You know, there's as much chance that a member could be calling about the APR on their healthy credit card as there is about hip osteoarthritis. And you know, they say that great actors have great range. You know, I would say our frontline teams, you know, display incredible range. You know, because we've got over 1,000 frontline customer service call handlers spread across the UK, you know, in that world, service levels are king. You know, if you aren't answering a call to a member in their time of need, then we aren't delivering what we're kind of committed to do. So, you know, that means that every minute of time away from their roles is absolutely critical. And in fact, there are strict caps put on the amount of time away from an individual's role that we can actually utilize, which again, I think sets the table for the environment that our frontline teams operate in and the role that they play.
First call resolution is often a key measure of success in a contact center. The agent has to have the right knowledge to resolve the customer issue as quickly and with as little hassle as possible. But does that mean that agents have to have a wide body of knowledge to be successful? Or should they be focused on specific products and services?
It's an age-old adage, isn't it? It's do you specialize or do you generalize? And I think in our team's history, what we've done is we've tried to push ourselves to the limit of capability and not waited for a stakeholder to demand that from us. And I think our aspiration is absolutely to provide a fully flexible workforce. You know, whatever happens during that day, whatever types of calls we get, the more fluid we can create resource for you, the better you can handle that. Especially over the last year, we've seen in every organization some unprecedented call demands, particularly in private healthcare. You know, my business introduced a COVID cover, and which is amazing. It gave people support in their time of need. But obviously, things like that are the entrepreneurial nature of our business, but they just absolutely spike call demand. And I think from our perspective, if we want to be able to help people in their time of need without delay, my team's agenda has absolutely been, how can we create a fully flexible contact center that means whatever comes through, you can handle? It's super tough.
This level of desired operational agility comes with a frank reality. Every agent can't possibly know everything, especially if they're new in their role. Spending hours and hours on training is a waste of time because people just can't remember that much information. A role with this level of complexity and constant change requires a different approach to learning and support.
We're leveraging resource-led performance support approaches across the entirety of our contact center. And what that means is, you know, let's assume that you get a call that you're just absolutely not able to deal with or don't feel like you're able to deal with it. How can we provide all the right tools where actually you can figure it out? I think the reality is once you figure it out once, that's going to be able to provide the foundations and the ability for you to do it again, quicker, better, every single time. So we're trying to create it so that it doesn't matter what comes through, you can deal with it. And that for us is the absolute operational flexibility. And that's more my team trying to set that agenda rather than waiting for a new executive to join and someone ask that of us. We're already absolutely, you know, on with that journey. And we've seen incredible strides with that. I do believe there are some areas of businesses where specialism is important. We have an oncology area which deals with, you know, cancer claims, and that requires absolutely that specialized care. But when we look at the majority, taking that Pareto principle, if the majority of staff can answer the majority of calls, you're going to be okay whatever happens that day.
Classroom sessions and online courses often fail because they're jam-packed with too much information. They aren't grounded in how people actually apply what they learn. On the other hand, a resource-based approach is focused on behavior, what you actually expect people to do on the job, and then what they need to know in order to demonstrate those behaviors.
We absolutely focus on task rather than topic. The majority of things that come through into departments and trained departments very heavily are topic. And I think for us, we boil down to what specifically do people have to do? You know, we go through a rapid task analysis process that just says, break apart specifically what you need that individual to do. What are the tasks and the steps and the concepts? And critically, when we're asking about things like concepts, we're not asking SMEs about what does this person need to know? It's what does this person need to do? And a concept is absolutely something that someone needs to know in order to be able to complete a task. If there isn't an underpinning task, if they aren't going to apply that on day to day, and that's why it's so important what you were saying about the frequency. If I'm going to do this once every 2-3 months, it's irrelevant what I teach in a classroom, you're just never going to be able to remember that stuff. So we always have to bake in what's the underpinning task? How frequently do you apply that task? And then what are the steps that I've got to follow in order to be able to do that? And I think our aim is, can we provide you resources so someone could walk in cold off the street, have no knowledge of this role, be able to follow them and get this right? If the answer is yes, then that's what we're going to do. The default position is not, what do we need to train you? It's actually, what can we support you with? Anything that we can't support you with those resources, then we need to train you. And I think that for us is a distinct shift of looking at training from a very different angle. Training is very inefficient. You don't have to go very far to find scientific papers to support that. So with that in mind and that commercial approach, we should only leverage that tool when absolutely necessary. And performance is the aim here. And that's where we start. And that's where the conversations depart.
That idea that structured training should be the last resort is near and dear to my heart and the basis of the modern learning ecosystem framework that has guided my work for the past decade. This approach seems to resonate with a lot of learning professionals, but how do you sell it to stakeholders, including frontline employees, who are used to training, meaning structured courses?
With our executive teams, it's already felt so much easier in like pushing it as an open door because the commercial benefits of training people less are absolutely undeniable. You know, the allure of efficiency is often pretty irresistible to operational leaders. Now, if you're looking at a waterfall traditional approach, you know, what happens? Maybe you spend 5 weeks designing some training module, you roll it over a 6-week period. The people you train week one don't remember anything by week six. If a project wants to change something halfway through, what you train the first people is out of date. You just replay some of these situations to some of the operational leaders and talk about, well, if we could reduce the number of training minutes on an annual basis by 40%, which is where my team is at now on an annual basis, is 40% less so far. Here is the FTE gains to you. And that for us is a cut and dry commercial business case. But of course, you know, Vitality is an organization that is attuned to the needs of its people. So funnily enough, you know, they're the ones that turn around and say, yeah, but how can we make our people feel comfortable? And I've always found that question really interesting. If you ask an individual in a training scenario, do you feel comfortable? Some people will never say yes. The same if you ask them if they feel confident. Some people will never say yes. There's an exponential line of, how long do you want to stay in this training environment before you actually do feel comfortable? And what we find is there was some feedback from our frontline staff members to begin with about, you know, where's the classroom? Where is the comfort of that? We enjoy the classroom. Quite often, sometimes learners, what they think they have found useful is actually not useful. And I think what we're trying to say here is judge us on the results. We're not trying to make you ready for everything. We're trying to make you performance ready. And as many analogies have been used, but you know, in the UK, you do your driving test. You don't drive on the motorway when you do your driving test. So the first time you drive on the motorway at 70 miles per hour, your equivalent of the highway, you've never really done it before. We have the analogy here of what is good enough? Because when it's good enough, you can start to learn and apply a lot of this stuff in the workflow. And our focus is not just train you less. It's actually to divert that attention and resource to building things into your day-to-day job that you can rely on, because we're going to remove the pressure for you to have to remember everything. And I think that is, it's almost taking with your left, but giving with your right.
Building traditional training is a lot more straightforward. There's a PowerPoint deck, a workbook, and maybe an online course or a job aid. A resource-based approach opens the door to a much larger range of options for helping people solve problems and do their jobs better. But you have to design your resources based on the right criteria and involve the right people.
We started to build resources in the traditional style. Hey, you've been to an event, here's a manual. It's 80 pages long. It's great, right? And the answer is no, it's horrendous. Like, I don't want to leaf through 60 pages of information to find what I need. Who wants to do that? Operationally, it's going to kill us. It's a terrible experience for our members, but also it's a terrible experience for our learners. And I think we began by focusing on resources, but traditional resources. And I think for us, that was part of the evolution. So you almost don't want to call it a mistake, but we were obviously, you know, we were doing it wrong. And I think that's something that we learned to say, okay, what is the purpose of a resource here? Not only what does it look like, but what's the function? And we've always stuck to the same analogy of you don't have to teach someone directions to a destination if they've got, you know, a sat nav or Google Maps or whatever. So what is the version of that that can help them operate? You know, and we shouldn't put constraints on that by, does it have to be on a Word document? Does it have to PDF? It's completely irrelevant. You know, for us is, can you get it in 3 clicks or less? Can you get to the information you need to in 5 seconds or less? It's absolutely irrelevant what that is. If the answer is yes, and that's giving you the correct information, then that is the resource. That's the resource for us. And I think that's opened up a lot of conversations with us with support functions to say, you're asking us to train something that everyone forgets. Well, make it pop up in the system, remind the person every time, and you don't need to train this. And I think for us, it's really broadened that view of a resource across the business, because when you tell people you want L&D, want to make a resource, they'll all think of the same thing. It's a workbook, it's a PowerPoint, you know, that's limiting to a traditional view, it's too narrow. A resource is something that helps people perform their job. And if I'm going to create a piece of material or a learning experience for the front line, who do traditional L&D teams get to sign off that content? And the irony is, it's usually senior staff members or execs or something like that, you know, and actually, well, how would they know? What is the point in doing that? And I think, funnily enough, I was making that mistake for many years in my career. And then it just occurred to me, I just thought, that's not who should be signing this off. Yes, there's got to be checks and balances, but the end user, the recipient's got to sign this stuff off, because what we're asking, if this is an effective piece of learning material, go and ask the learner. For us, that was a really interesting thing where they would feedback and say, it's not that usable. This would make it more usable. Okay, cool. That we can work with.
Even when you try to involve the frontline in the solutioning process, you sometimes get sent the wrong people.
It's that difference between, don't send me a role model, send me a role model learner. And a role model learner is someone who's truly indicative of the people that we're trying to help here. They should not be representative of the people who pick it up straight away. They should be somewhere in the middle of that bell-shaped curve who are going to tell us how we're going to need to support people. They're going to be people who ask questions, some people who might challenge back. That's the difference between a role model individual within an organization or a role model learner. And I think we absolutely want the latter.
Adopting a resource-based approach represents more than just a change in how you train your frontline. It represents a shift in how you value the collective knowledge of your organization.
People quite often talk in a disparaging way of SharePoint, but it is that first foray into the hive mind, the community of people contributing to the knowledge of an organization, where you move past L&D and learning development, and you move into organizational development. How does this business grow and learn from each other? And I just feel that there's always a focus on a deployment of knowledge, but not the support. E-learning packages that look amazing, brilliant, but within 24 hours, a significant amount of that will probably be forgotten. Therefore, how are people going to remember? Focus on the member. Don't always focus on the deployment, and that will level out people's experience from an L&D perspective.
Automation is fundamentally changing the way work is done on the front line. Unfortunately, this can often overshadow the continued importance of building knowledge and skill within the workforce that can add tremendous value alongside technology and truly differentiate your brand.
The reality of the matter is not every customer wants to talk to a human. That's completely okay. Certainly days where I feel like that. If it's transaction, if it's commodity, I need to do something short and quick. Chatbots are absolutely fantastic. And I think by concentrating that day-to-day, high-frequency, low-complexity work, that is absolutely an area of value for dealing with self-service. I think the opportunity that creates is almost like the iceberg effect. The tip of the iceberg is what the self-service can do. The complex issue resolution, the conversations about vitality, core purpose, your health, how are you doing? How are you feeling? I noticed you went on a 5K run last week. Congratulations. You know, stuff like that. That is the bit where the frontline can truly add that value. And I think when you think about anybody in their job, does doing 1,000 easy things during the week on a perpetual basis, is that the measure of success? Does that give people job satisfaction? I would argue in the long term, no. But I think by equipping your frontline to deal with the complexity, becoming experts in those really difficult conversations, because we've moved the high frequency stuff away, that's where I think the absolute value is. As a customer, if you've become annoyed with the self-service or whatever, or you've actually disengaged, then can we contact someone and say, look, I saw you tried to do this and actually you kind of gave up. So let me just reach out to you and let me help you with that sort of stuff. I think it's almost compensating for the shortcomings of automation by being an even better human experience that acts as a chassis around that customer experience. I think that for us is really where the advantage and the value is in investing in your frontline.
Technology plays an essential role in a resource-based approach, especially within a large and dynamic enterprise. Fortunately, you don't need to make a major investment to get started and then build your business case.
All of this stuff is very doable for very low budget. Your only limitation is your imagination about how to use these tools. So I think one of the biggest resources you can do is research what tech you've got in your organization. And I know it sounds silly, but you know, there are many different things like Teams which can be used to support this, and become a technophile. Don't just brush up on tech, research it, because some of the capacity and the capability will wow you. And I think it's important to label that point with people because it's really kind of shocked us.
A resource-based approach just makes sense. After all, it's how we use information to solve problems in our everyday lives. However, there's no one-size-fits-all solution when it comes to applying these principles. Every organization is going to have to figure out where this fits within their strategy.
I've had some people contact me after we've appeared on podcasts, etc. And, you know, I think their view is largely that I like this, I'm interested in it, I don't think it works for me. I think everything is situation dependent. Every organization is different. I'd have a hard time believing that this stuff wouldn't benefit people in any way to use in their organization. But you know, I think it's an important point. Organizations vary wildly, and I'm really interested to hear from people who have views and experience on performance support that maybe they've done something brilliant. You know, if you're happy to share, I'm happy to share too. Or maybe if you've given it a go and it hasn't worked, I'm equally interested to hear about that stuff, because I think that is the time, or now is the time, where R&D functions should share what they've learned. I think it's a brilliant profession, but at the same time, it's never been more important that it demonstrates business credibility. And I think we should see ourselves as a fraternity that works together rather than as in direct competition.
On-demand resources and performance support won't do the job on their own, but they are foundational components of the workplace learning ecosystem that must be designed to keep up with the changing needs of your business and the people you support.
I honestly believe if you're not evolving at that pace and you're not completely changing what you're doing each time and searching for the next approach, innovating, trying to find the next approach, then it's quite quickly going to lose that relevance and become outdated. And you know, to our earlier point, does performance support solve every issue? No. But the aim of the game is to create that toolkit of stuff that you can rely on to be absolutely indispensable to an organization. And I think it's that back to that point again. Maybe someone has an amazing innovation they've done in their workplace or organization, and you know the future exists, it's just not evenly distributed yet. So who has discovered the future? And I just hope people will share that willingly, because we want it to be reciprocated, and we want to hopefully inspire people to reach out and say, we've tried this and it worked or it didn't. You know, I think either of those are equally beneficial.
Thanks to Sebastian Tindall for sharing his insights into adopting a resource-based approach to frontline learning. Check out the show notes for recommended resources you can apply to implement a similar approach within your organization. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to the 80% on your favorite podcast app. You can also find all of our episodes online at exonify.com/podcast. Thanks for joining me for this story. I hope you captured a few practical insights you can apply to improve the way you support your frontline team. I also hope you'll join me again for another story about how we can help frontline employees do their best work every day and make a difference in their organizations and communities. Remember that together, we can move the frontline forward.